From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and that will be followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text comes from Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 17. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. The path of the Christian is not always bright with sunshine. He has his seasons of darkness and of storm. True, it is written in God's Word, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And it is a great truth that religion is calculated to give a man happiness below as well as bliss above. But experience tells us that if the course of the just be as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, yet sometimes that light is eclipsed. At certain periods clouds cover the believer's sun, and he walks in darkness and sees no light. There are many who have rejoiced in the presence of God for a season. They have basked in the sunshine in the earlier stages of their Christian career. They have walked along the green pastures by the side of the still waters. But suddenly they find the glorious sky is clouded. Instead of the land of Goshen, they have to tread the sandy desert. In the place of sweet waters, they find troubled streams, bitter to their taste. And they say, surely if I were a child of God, this would not happen. Oh, say not so, thou who art walking in darkness. The best of God's saints must drink the wormwood. The dearest of his children must bear the cross. No Christian has enjoyed perpetual prosperity. No believer can always keep his harp from the willows. Perhaps the Lord allotted you at first a smooth and unclouded path, because you were weak and timid. He tempered the wind to the shorn lamb. But now that you are stronger in the spiritual life, you must enter upon the rougher and riper experience of God's full-grown children. We need winds and tempests to exercise our faith, to tear off the rotten bough of self-dependence, and to root us more firmly in Christ. The day of evil reveals to us the value of our glorious hope.
My love.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Judas Iscariot, the man who kissed but missed Christ, the last in this series of studies of the apostles of the Lord Jesus. It is difficult for us to understand how Judas, whom the Lord Jesus personally chose to be one of his disciples, could have become the man whose very name is identified with treachery. How could Judas have walked with Christ for 3 years, have listened to his preaching, seen his miracles, and yet have betrayed the Savior to the chief priests for 30 pieces of silver? Judas despised the great privileges that were his. He was governed by evil passions, and he lived a life of empty pretense. How many are there in the church who profess Christianity, but in whose hearts there is no love for the Savior? Like Judas, they love their sin, and who, unless they repent, will share Judas's doom in a lost eternity. Now, with the next portion of this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
When you read the story of Judas Iscariot, and you see him there among the 12, the question that naturally comes to your mind is, why did the Lord Jesus ever choose him? Certainly the Savior was not deceived in him, because from the beginning, we are told, he knew who it was who would betray him. So he was never deceived in Judas. So why did he ever choose Judas in the first place? People like John Calvin have no hesitation in taking the Scripture very literally, for the Scripture tells us that this was done that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. We can never get away from the sovereign purpose of God in any of these things. But there are certainly much more immediate reasons. Why did the Lord Jesus choose a Judas? Well, I think that there's certainly truth in this, that he did so deliberately to complete the full cycle of his own sufferings. You remember the psalmist back in the 55th Psalm? The psalmist David speaks about Ahithophel, the man who was his boon companion and his close friend, who turned against him, who came with words that were as smooth as butter, but all the time they were drawn swords. Well, now here is the greater David. According to Zechariah 13 and verse 6, he is wounded in the house of his friends. And the Lord Jesus opens his heart to that greatest of all disappointments and discouragements, the betrayal of a friend upon whom you have lavished the greatest of your love. I think in doing so that he chose Judas in order to prepare us. In the Church of Christ, there has been many a Judas. Throughout the history of the Church of Jesus Christ, there have been men of this ilk who have sold the church, they have sold the saints, they have sold the gospel. There are people who, like Judas, for a handful of silver, have been willing to turn families inside out. Not very many months or years ago, behind the Iron Curtain, when God's people would meet in a house meeting or in a forest meeting, they never knew, but one of the professors in their number was an informer who would give away the secret of where they were meeting and when they were meeting. I've read the stories, even sometimes, of the people who did the very acts. I remember the testimony of one young man who, as a secret policeman, was led there with his companions because of a Judas in the midst. That Judas gripped his silver as the police not only wrecked a home, but they kicked a teenage girl into eternity. Literally kicked her into eternity. The Lord Jesus walked this way before us. But whatever his reason for choosing Judas, the fact is, he did call him, and he did install him among the 12. He gave to Judas Iscariot the very same privileges as he gave to the other disciples. He admitted Judas Iscariot to that close personal intimacy which the 12 had with the Son of God. He learned to pray, being taught by Jesus Christ. He had the Word of God opened up to him by the Christ of God himself. When the crowds went away, Judas was one of those left alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was privileged as few men. I could say that only 12 men, perhaps one more if you add the Apostle Paul, but only 12 other men at the most, in all the history of the world, were given the privileges that Judas Iscariot enjoyed. But he despised them all, trampled them beneath his feet, and perished. I said, there's a lot of us in Judas Iscariot, and there's a lot of Judas Iscariot in all of us. There's nothing, I want you to listen very carefully, there's nothing that scares me more than to see people grow up under the sound of the gospel. Learn to handle this Bible as if it were nothing. Shrug off the preaching of the gospel as something, well, we just got to put up with it. Take the things of God, which are the richest and the greatest privileges that heaven can bestow, and despise them. In Hosea chapter 8, the Lord said of Ephraim, of Israel, I have written unto him the great things of my law, and they were accounted as a strange thing. I wonder, my friend, could God say that of you tonight? There's a boy, there's a girl, there's a young man, a young woman, or someone now in middle age. I have written to them the great things of my law. I have given them every advantage. I have brought them under the sound of the gospel. I have given them the preaching of Christ. I have given them praying parents. I have put them in a church that uplifts the cross. I have striven with those people. I have pricked their consciences. I have painted in the most lurid way the reality of hell. I have depicted the glories of heaven. I have planted the blood-soaked cross of my Son in their pathway, that they cannot go to hell unless they trample the blood of my Son beneath their feet. I've done it all. But it's been counted. It's a strange thing. Man, be careful. Be careful of committing Judas's sin, lest you end up in Judas's hell. The Lord Jesus looked at the cities in Galilee, where most of his mighty works had been done. And he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Woe unto thee, Capernaum. Thou art exalted to heaven. Thou shalt be brought down to hell. Dr. Paisley's inimitable title for his sermon on Judas Iscariot is The Man Who Kissed the Door of Heaven, Jesus Christ, and Went to Hell. He despised rich privileges. He was governed by evil passions. The second question that you have to face when you think of Judas Iscariot is not only why did Christ choose him, but why did he do what he did? Having seen what he saw, indeed having stolen as much money as he did, why would he sell Christ for 30 measly bits of silver? Well, that's a hard one to answer. It's so difficult that some very learned people worked out a very intricate theory that said that Judas actually betrayed Christ, and they base this all on one tiny little phrase that they read and I think misunderstand here, but they say he did this to force the Lord Jesus out into the open, to force a showdown, and he fully expected the Lord Jesus to declare his kingship, overcome his enemies, and he then would become a right-hand man in his kingdom. They base all that on the simple statement, when he saw that he was condemned, he was filled with remorse. I think, however, the record clearly shows that they're trying to construct a character who never existed. Why did Judas do this? Well, he was consumed with a love of money. I'm not going to re-preach the message on Matthew, but I'm going to remind you that the Bible says more on that subject than almost any other. There's a constant warning that you don't get so gripped by a love of earthly wealth, prosperity, ease, power, and all the rest of it, that you'll sell your soul. He sold his soul for money. There's something else that comes out very clearly in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 14. And that is, he repudiated the idea of a crucified Savior. As soon as the Lord Jesus spoke of his burial As soon as Judas understood that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to the cross, he said, enough. I will not serve a crucified Savior. Here was a man who was gripped by the here and now. Here's a man who demanded the wealth and the ease and the pomp and the power and the circumstance of earthly position. If the Lord Jesus had said, right, get your swords together, we're going out to fight the Romans, I believe that Judas Iscariot would have been right there by his side. You see, you can be a thief and a vagabond and fight the Romans and stand up for God's church. But to walk the way of the cross demands that you be a new creature. Judas Iscariot, even though he was in the very personal presence of Christ, was still governed by evil passions. And then his third sin, he lived a life of empty pretense. Now I'm going to be very, very straight and very, very honest tonight. And as I describe Judas Iscariot, I trust that every man and woman amongst us will hold this word up and say, Lord, is this a mirror image of myself? From the very start, Jesus said he was a devil, not a demon. Preachers have preached from that text that he was already demon-possessed. There's not a word about a demon in that text. The word is a devil. He's not calling him Satan. He's simply saying he was a false accuser. Yet, this false accuser went through all the motions of discipleship. He was a thief. He stole enough money to buy that little holding outside Jerusalem. Yet, he spoke piously of the poor. After the woman had anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with a view to his burial, Judas sought opportunity to betray him. He was out concocting a plot to sell Christ. Yet, he came back into the presence of Christ and he pretended to be his loyal disciple. When the Lord Jesus said, one of you shall betray me, and all the disciples were stirred up to ask, is it I? Judas turned a baby-like face upon Christ. And he said with pretended innocence, Lord, is it I? Finally, in Gethsemane, as he came up to the Lord Jesus Christ, even then he said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Had he pointed him out? Had he slunk off into the background and said, that's him, the third from the left, I would have said Judas had some conscience left at that stage. But to walk boldly into the presence of Christ with this bunch of murderous thugs behind him, to say, Hail, Master, and kiss him, shows you that to the end, Judas lived a life of empty pretense.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.